team leading us, forever mine. I think it's another thing that we can just take for granted and sing, but not really think about what we're singing. Forever. That's how long we'll be residing with God, unhindered by the things of this world. Forever. We continue in living in our identity and out of our identity in Christ. Right? We consider the first three chapters, living in our identity, discovering more and more what that is, identifying what it is, so that we can live out of it in Christ. It's all in Christ. So I have a question for us this morning. Who would you like to receive an inheritance from? Maybe Bill Gates comes to mind because I shared a story about some of his life. And some of you are thinking, hey, that would be awesome. But who would you like to receive an inheritance from? Consider it. Ponder it a bit. What has to happen before you receive that inheritance generally? Somebody needs to pass away. So then that relationship changes dramatically. So it'd be much easier, right, to receive an inheritance from someone we don't know, because someone we do know and love, well, you get some stuff, but you lose that relationship. So I have a few pictures here. You can consider whether you'd like to receive an inheritance from these people. One there with the two houses on the left, the owner of those two houses, apparently purchased them both for $300. I'm not sure where on the planet they are. $300. Want to receive an inheritance from them? How about the proud owner of the small house, a happy owner there? Nice. Looks pretty pleased with their home. How about this next proud owner? Looks like a bit of an estate there. Or the next one, Judge Judy's new home, apparently. It's getting to be a bit of a sprawl. Or how about the owner of this one, the next one? Not sure where it is. I do know it's downtown in a city because I did more research on this one. This one's actually owned by a billionaire land developer, Bob Eli. So it may not look like much, but maybe you want to take part in his inheritance, though. Walking through this series, our identity in Christ and living out of our identity in Christ, we come to chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. And we are heirs. We have an inheritance, and we're not really. We can grow a lot more in understanding what it is and in investing it. Let's read these verses and then see how our identity is as heirs. Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. In Him, that is Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, that continues with in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise of the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 is actually one big, long, run-on sentence by the Apostle Paul in the original languages. We've broken it up so we can read it a little easier. In fact, I've further broke it up with one sentence, but we'll speak on it for two Sundays here. Did the first part, 3 to 10. Last week, John, just these four verses, 11 to 14. Last week, we looked at 3 to 10, how we are adopted and redeemed. That's part of our identity. We're chosen, and we're so loved we've been bought back, repurchased. Now this week we look at that we're heirs. Heirs is our identity, and there's three things I want to walk through briefly here this morning. We've already obtained, it says we've obtained an inheritance. We're sealed and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. So let's look first at obtain. In Him, we're reading the verses, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. There's a lot more I'd like to say on just even these two verses, but I'm going to just try and whittle it down to a couple things for this morning. It says we have obtained an inheritance. That's definitely past tense. But in the original language, it's also ongoing. So we have obtained it. We have it in full, but our experience is partial. We're still experiencing, growing in what that inheritance is. Do you realize how rich we are in Christ? I think often we can just kind of breeze over it. Just how rich we are in Christ. We have access to the Creator of the universe to walk with us day by day. What a helper in a time of need. What a comfort in time of trouble. We could go on and on, all the names and titles throughout Scripture. Just being in relationship with Him. We are rich. And He provides for us way beyond our needs to our desires and so many other things. We are indeed blessed. We are rich. Ephesians 1, 3 that we dealt with last week, but this kicks off this sentence, this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's not stingy. He's not just doling out, oh, here's this little wee morsel for you today. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5 says this about this inheritance. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again, listen, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. It's not decreasing in value at all, like those homes that I showed you. It doesn't matter how big and costly and vast they are. They all deteriorate unless you do a lot of work to keep them up. And one day, they're going to be absolutely worthless. But not our inheritance. Imperishable. Won't ever pass away. Undefiled. It's unfading. Kept in heaven for you. For who? For you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. It's being guarded by God. Right? some of those big estates, they get a couple of guard dogs, I think Dobermans or something like that. Nothing compared to God guarding it. But there's also an our part here, through faith. That's us. We believe. We take hold of this thing we've already obtained. Already obtained, but are still in the ongoing of the experience of realizing it. If we go to the next picture, the fact that Paul is writing about wealth would be significant to his readers, because Ephesus, right, to the church in Ephesus is where this is, was considered the Bank of Asia, one of the seven wonders of the world. The great temple of Diana, there's the ruins of it, was in Ephesus. It was not only a center for idolatrous worship, that is, worshiping idols rather than the true God, but also a depository for wealth. Some of the greatest art treasures of the ancient world were housed in this magnificent building. So obviously that's just what they've uncovered, but that's what they think it looked like, near as what they could tell from reading, looking at history. It's a magnificent building, so it contains all these, at the time, priceless art at the time as well. In this letter, Paul will compare the Church of Jesus Christ to a temple, and it will explain that the great wealth that Christ has in the church. And we just flip by it and start living as if we're impoverished at times, like we need more and whatever else. We're not even living in the riches that he's given us. We're heirs. It's already an inheritance that we've obtained. We're rich. But I think there's a second, I don't think I'm reading into Scripture in my study with this. There's a second piece with this obtained here. Because that word can mean, yes, obtained, as we generally think about it, having already acquired. And as I already alluded to, and yet, our experience is, so it's all there, and one day we'll fully experience it. But even now, we can be experiencing much more of that inheritance and investing it, experience it much more closely as we grow in it. But there's also a sense here, we've been made a heritage. That we have become is one logical and realistic translation of obtained. That we have been made an inheritance, or made a heritage, a memorial legacy passed to the next generation. What if we together are some of Christ's inheritance? Right? He speaks of those, all you have given me, I have not lost one. Have obtained the title of his inheritance, made a heritage. And it ends that little section, be to the praise of his glory. You ever think of that? That we're some of these priceless riches, and that Christ takes us as an inheritance? We have obtained this, have become this. We need to learn to live out of it. These couple verses keep going. Yes, we're heirs, we've obtained it in both those senses, and we're heirs that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, all of that, past tense, when all of those things took place, you fully placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your risen Lord and Savior. This happened. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. sealed. Who said it about you? I mean, the best thing I could come, a picture will come up there, but the old signet ring of a king would seal it with an impression. And so they would know it was the king who had sealed that, who had said it. You realize that you're heirs, not because bloodlines, not because you've done something amazing, but because he has declared it. And when he declared it, we chose to believe in him. There is a response there. But as all of that, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, that we're sealed, not by someone's signet ring without power, but by Almighty God saying this. The Holy Spirit, he has the authority to say it and the power to carry it out. It's a stamp of approval. He stated we are heirs. Do we believe him? Or do we sometimes shrink back and think, well, I'm certainly human, or how do we even think about ourselves? Derogatory, negative manner, that's all lies. We are heirs of a king, and he has declared it. We're sealed. Through this gift, they and we too received wisdom and illumination to perceive the implications of the gospel. That's coming in the next verses, 1:17-20. They're not quite the next ones, close to. They also received inner strengthening of the gospel, 3:16 and 6:17. This is just outlining, here's what's going to come further in Ephesians that you've received in your inheritance, but you probably received it partly. Grow in this. Take advantage of this. Some of it's for investing and spending right now. Who doesn't need inner strengthening? But he's given it to us. He's given us access to and the indwelling presence of God in Christ. You see that in 2:18 and 22, 3:16 and 17. The beginnings of the promised cosmic unity. That's in chapter 4. Especially at the beginning, verses 3 and 4. Inspiration to godly living and thankful worship. End of 4, 4:30 and 5:18 and 20. And we've received help in prayer, 6:18. All these activities are what marks believers as God's people. Right? We're heirs, and we start to live like we're heirs, sons and daughters of the King. When we really take this to heart and believe it. So all of these things are what marks believers as God's people and are indispensable to an ongoing Christian experience. We can't just live on yesteryear's experience or last week. Oh, I was really growing in the Lord last week. I'm just kind of on coast now. How's that work in your marriages? How's that work in any relationship when we just try and coast? If we think we're just cruising through life, I guarantee we're doing this. We're drifting apart. Intentionally taking hold of this as heirs of Christ Jesus. We are sealed. Live sealed. It's been authenticated by his signet ring. He has stated it. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Do we just walk through life as if we don't have the Holy Spirit? Foolishness. Don't live as unbelievers, but live as believers. Believe this, that we are heirs. Further out of our identity as heirs of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed. We are also guaranteed. In him, you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory again, it says. Yes, some of this is kept in heaven for you, but a lot of it we can experience now. He is the guarantee. These are tied together, the sealed and guarantee tied together because it's through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. His guarantee is a commercial term. for a deposit or down payment that secures a legal claim, makes a contract binding. It's used figuratively in the New Testament for God's gift of His Spirit right here to believers as a guarantee of their full inheritance of Christ. How many people go through times of doubt in their lives? How many don't? That's a much easier one to count. We all go through times of doubt. But if we're in a living, active, growing relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we're not doubting that what He has said is true. What He has said He's given us. You know, oh, is there really, really eternal life? When we've got that relationship, we don't doubt it at all. We will receive the full inheritance, and we can be experiencing so much more of it right now. This word's also used in 2 Corinthians 5:5, to share, to realize that we share, part of our inheritance is a share in immortality. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, I'm talking about the body, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed we, by putting it on, we may be found naked. For while we still are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by, we often think being mortality being swallowed up by death. But He makes it clear it's swallowed up by life. Right? We're hindered from true life now to a great degree on this planet. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Yes, our bodies are getting older. I don't know a single person of the thousands of people I've met, not a single one getting younger. And it's true for you as well. I'm pretty sure it is. We're all getting older. Our bodies get more aches and pains. We're all decaying and dying. And we groan. We long for something better. We'll get an eternal risen body. We're not going to be just spirits floating around, Casper the Friendly Ghost or whatever else. We're going to have resurrected bodies that aren't susceptible to sickness and death and pain and dying. That's part of our inheritance. But do we really believe that? I mean, to the point where we live differently. The Holy Spirit's the guarantee. And if we're cruising through life just listening to lots of other voices but not listening to the Holy Spirit, we're going to doubt that constantly. And it certainly won't affect our everyday life. So how do we live in and out of our true identity in Christ? Our identity as heirs is already obtained. And it's sealed and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Well, we're heirs. First part, right? I-D-O-D. Identify what our true identity is. We're heirs. Will we believe it? Will we start there? Or do we start with someone else's impression of it? We need to go on the defensive and stop living like we're impoverished or poor, that we need more, as if we're illegitimate children, when He is so, remember the first part of the sentence? We're adopted and redeemed. We're chosen. We're not illegitimate. We're not second rate, nor are we alone. He's given us the guarantee of His Holy Spirit. By faith, we need to receive this identity as heirs. Go on the offensive. We've already obtained the inheritance. We are rich. Don't live like we're impoverished. We've been made a heritage. We're part of Jesus' inheritance. Something of incredible value. And we're sealed and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Do we live it? Are we receiving this in an ongoing way to the point where we are investing this inheritance? It's a relationship with God that leads to incredible contentment, living courageously and generously. We don't shrink back in fear. We're His heirs. And that inheritance is to be utilized. We invest it. Spend it. There's a story. It's been told quite a few different ways. The oldest version that I can find was of an exceedingly rich man. He had all sorts of, he had estates, he had property, he had art, he had all sorts of stuff. And his wife had died previously. He was raising his son. And then when that man died, there was an auction. And the only one to bid on a picture of his son was that son's former nurse. Because she wanted it as a way to remember him. And so she takes that picture home, has it there, remembering her son, because she had such a close relationship. She was his nurse up until the time he died and nurtured him as her own son, basically. She delighted in him. So she went, and she was quite impoverished at the time, but she's looking at that picture and has it down, looking at it one day, notices that there's a bulge in the back. She cut the back of that, and out came the dad, the senior man who had passed away, his will. And in there it said, whoever valued the son got everything. She inherited everything. It's the same with us. Whoever values the son inherits it all. We're joint heirs with Jesus. But are we living like heirs? You know, even going back to the small group thing. I mean, this is about us engaging in God's Word, engaging together in a way where we discover together who we are in Christ and ask, how does this apply? Keeping each other accountable to push out and push into the world. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting the different results. What an incredible invitation to know our identity in Christ. We are heirs of the King. It's already been obtained. We're rich. We have access fully. We become part of His inheritance. And it's sealed and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit Himself. But are we living a second-rate life like we are not heirs? Like we are not really followers of Jesus seeking to glorify God. We're living substandard lives compared to who we truly are. And I got to admit, often I slip back into that. That's why I need a small group. I might even need two, because I'm a special case. Pastors are truly weak people. That's why we have to engage the way we do. But we need this. We need this constant reminder. Are we engaging with the Holy Spirit regularly? Is our prayer life growing? Are we under the illusion that it's plateaued? We're just kind of coasting along, cruising along as we always have. It's time for a new day to really take hold of our identity, brothers and sisters, and to live out of that identity. For as this passage keeps saying at the end, for the praise of His glory. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I slip too much into life on this planet. I want your gifts, but I forget. Your gifts come as I'm in relationship with you. The person who cherished the Son is the one who receives all the riches. You've invited us to intimate, dynamic, growing, better than we can imagine relationship. And we're foolish if we just keep asking you and others and looking to this world for stuff. Those who came to plunder the wealthy man's riches went away sad. But the one who values the Son grows in that relationship, gains the kingdom of heaven. Lord, wake us up. Draw us near. Help us be those among the planet Earth here who seek you and find you. And we learn to take hold of the inheritance you've already obtained for us and given to us, and we receive by faith. Help us grow in that faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for walking with us every day. Help us actually engage with you regularly, consistently, constantly, both individually through your word, as well as with one another, that we would walk as your people, followers of Jesus. We would declare and receive our inheritance, learn to live in it, and it would be by the power of your Spirit. Give us faith, God.